and welcome to the Ski Racing Podcast with me, Ed Drake. Marcel and Ben are back on the podcast again. This has got to be some sort of record. These two boys, no holidays for a long, long time. Thank you for joining us yet again. We've got to start off with the Youth Olympics, haven't we, really? The GB team have been absolutely flying. Zach Carrick-Smith, gold in the slalom, gold in the Alpine combined, and silver in the Super G. What a tremendous record that is. And then Molly Butler on the women's side going very well. 12th in slalom, 10th in GS, 16th in Alpine combined. Alpine skiing, the next generation are bringing some real, real good forces. Hopefully they can transition that and can continue to get it done at that level and then transition up to World Cup ASAP, because we'd love to have them. And then on the ski cross side, Jake Dade was 7th, Axel Green was 6th, and then in the team event, they were 6th as well. GB performances have been off the charts. Ben, what do you make of those results, mate? It's pretty bloody cool, isn't it?
That's incredible. It's been so good just reading the results come through, whether it's social media or checking on the FIS website for them and those kind of things. It's just really great to see. Obviously, getting exposure to those kind of tournaments is really important for younger racers, just to understand how much of a fanfare there can be around some of these champs. Obviously, Ed, you went to a fair few yourself, so it's great to get experience at a young age, but then to put in the performances they have and have, you know, a Youth Olympic medal is just absolutely incredible. And yeah, Carrick-Smith looks like he's got an exciting future ahead of him, considering he's getting medals across, you know, combined disciplines as well as the technical events as well. It's going to be stuff for us all to be talking about for years to come, hopefully. So yeah, fantastic.
Got to try and keep his feet on the ground. He's absolutely flying. That guy's got to be on cloud nine after those results. Marcel, any Austrian would be proud of those bad boy results, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would be, actually. I don't think the Austrians have done really well there. So, you know, heads up to him. What a great performance. A couple of great performances, actually. Good to see the Brits doing well, you know, everywhere. Can't get rid of them anymore.
That's it. We're here to stay. Medal tables, look out. We're coming. We didn't have any featuring in Kitzbühel, though, did we? Not in the speed races. And we got to cast our minds back. It seems about a week ago, if not longer, that we started racing in Kitzbühel. Those double downhills, obviously the first downhill, Cyprian Sarrazin really did nail it. Absolutely announced himself. 500s was the only difference, though, but it was a really good run over Flo Schieder of the Italian team, with Odomat getting on the podium, only beating Ryan Cochran-Siegel, who pulled the result out. By a single hundredth of a second. Then the second day, Sarrazin absolutely demolished Marco Odomat. Odomat came down, thought he'd done enough to win, celebrating in the finish area like he'd had one of his, you know, really top-notch runs. And then Sarrazin comes down and does him by 0.91 of a second. It was something properly, properly special. Paris in third place, 1.44 back. The best of the Austrians all weekend was Babinski. And he was in fourth, 1.69 back. Just quickly before I talk through those results, boys, the French had 4 races in that second top 10. And then Leto of the Finnish team getting 11th twice was absolutely epic. That is some proper skiing from a solo team. Yes, he's teamed up with the Swiss guys, but, you know, it's essentially the Finnish dude on his tod. What do you make of those races, Ben? Come on, mate. Kick us off with those.
I was just going to first kick off to see if you two were bored of each other yet, the amount of time you spent commentating together the last two weeks.
Yes.
Or so.
Yes. I can't stand to see him anymore.
Oh. We need to turn the cameras off on Zoom for a bit. But, no.
I have nightmares from him screaming into my ear when someone races really well.
Yeah, we're good. Good.
They're not called nightmares, Marcel. They're called dreams. best dreams you can possibly have. But no, there was some really exciting racing going on. I think the first day was a little bit tougher. There was a lot of snow overnight, and FIS put the pictures up of the course crew and army out in the dark trying to clear off all the fresh snow to try and make sure the line was okay for people to race through. But yeah, I think I picked Sarrazin on the Saturday to carry on his good form. But it looks like with Kilder going out, we were a bit worried there wouldn't be enough pressure on Odomat in the speed disciplines. But it looks like Sarrazin's got no problem going all out in those. And he's found something recently that is just he's flicked a switch and his speed is just unreal. Like you said, to be able to beat Odomat in any form of skiing by 0.91 is ridiculous. And like you said, Odomat looked like he'd had a good run. There were still some mistakes in there, but he thought he'd done a good enough run. And then Sarazat came down straight after him and absolutely destroyed it. I sent you guys, and if anyone wants to find it, I think it was the French TV commentary of that second day's run from Sarazan with Johan Clary in the commentary box. It is absolutely incredible. They talk about his run being like a work of art and put it in the Louvre. And just the amount of times that Clary was just like absolutely wowed by his like former teammate was incredible. So if you can find that on, I think it was on Instagram, definitely watch it because it was brilliant racing all round.
Go on, Marcel. What do you make of that bad boy?
Yeah, it was good.
Good. Excellent.
That
Good. You are a
was it.
dickhead.
Seriously, you know what? But it was actually so enjoyable. The first time I felt like I'm there. I don't know. I was so far away from it, but I felt like I'm there. I really got like into it, and I think on the second day it was actually quite interesting to see Odomat coming down. And I think he said it somewhere in an interview. He's like, you know, I felt it wasn't great on top, but then I was leading by like a second, and I was like, well, I guess that's pretty good. And then once Sarazak came down, he was like, oh my God, I have been absolutely thrashed today. And he was absolutely thrashed that day. That was such a, I think we said it on in the commentary. It's probably one of the best runs. It must have been at least in top three. It was so clean, especially the top part. Even the Austrians were like, this is a contender for the best run. And they obviously claimed that Stefan Eberharter had the best run in 2004 or whatever. So I think it was just fascinating to see. Great race. Lehto, cool runs, two great runs. He's great skier, actually. I think you can just see that, you know, helps him that skis with the Swiss team. So he has like a lot of good people there, obviously training with Odomat. Well, that can't do any harm, I guess. And that guy, that was quite impressive. The guy who came with 53, who, you know, got yellow flagged, went back up again and absolutely smashed it into the ninth place. That was fantastic.
Yeah, Boisset, the Swiss dude on the first race. I
Yeah.
mean, some mental strength. And like we were talking about it and how he'd gone very well up until the point that he'd been yellow flagged, and Giesendana had the same thing the next day. Like the guy's getting good times, and you're getting down through Stahlhang, and you're onto the flat section. So you've done arguably the toughest turns on the hill and done them well. And then to see the yellow flag and realize that you've got to do it all over again, it must feel like you've, I don't know, sort of you've won just getting through it and getting through it quickly. Like the chances of you being able to do it again, it just must feel so low. But I guess that's where the confidence of good skiing comes from. But you know, Giesendana has done it there before, but for Boisset, I think it was his like fifth World Cup or something stupid. And then being able to do that sort of skiing was exceptional. But in terms of Sarrazin, you know, yes, we had those mega results in Bormio, and then skied obviously very well in Wengen as well. But then just, I don't know, you're right, Ben. He's just unlocked something, obviously, and it's clicked and it's switched. But
Well,
then for it just to go on that run as on this run of form as well is just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And you know, thankfully he has, because as you say, you know, when Kilder went down and was out, we were wondering if it was going to be a little bit like, well, we'll come to that later with Michaela Schifrin on the women's side now, especially in slalom. But you kind of just thought, oh, we're just getting robbed. We were robbed of Marco Schwarz, then we were robbed of Kilder, and then all of a sudden, thankfully, Sarazan's going, don't worry, guys, I got this.
I'll put the pressure on. And he's skiing incredibly. And I was looking back through some of his, I guess, like last few years of World Cups, and for a while he was doing more GSs than he was anything else. It was just kind of like GS and Super Gs. Marcel wants to say something as well.
I'd actually like to, I just want to say this. I have been on the podium with Sarazen and Odermatt, not the same race, in the European Cup Giant Slalom, just to point it out.
Wow, I thought you were going to say no, he only skied slaloms, Ben. You're talking absolute rubbish.
It's about my biggest success ever, I guess, looking back now.
I mean, Odomat's so young, I'm surprised you were both racing at the
No,
same
you
time.
know what? I do have a couple of stories about Sarazen. So he was so good in Giant Slalom. And then he won that parallel race, I think it was. But we were training in in Vail just before the Beaver Creek Giant Slalom, and he had a huge crash. Like, I don't know, whoever has been to Vail, where the training run is, there is a flat top, and then you go into the steep, and just over that roller, he had a huge crash. I think he really hurt himself there. So after that, it was a bit tough. Then he came back giant slalom, then he didn't do anything, and he's only done 14 downhills. How many has been on the podium? Like five of them.
It's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy how he's picked that up so quickly, with the amount of GS and Super G he was doing before and until the last 2 years. But yeah, as Marcel said, he had that success before with a parallel, and I think he had a podium in a GS in Alto Badia a long way back as well. But then he'd not really been one of those guys, when you think of all of the other French guys across all of the disciplines that were you regularly think have got the speed and could be podium contenders. And then in the last year, he's just gone, actually,
You're
I've
not
unlocked something. This is how fast I can go. And it is incredible to watch.
He
And
did
you'd
his
say how,
sorry, quickly, you'd have to say that he, over the last few years, with especially with Claret and Théo, they've been good, but they've not been that good. And so for him just to come and blast onto the scene and become, well, it might sound like you're blowing smoke up his ass, but he's, a legend. You don't win both races in Kitzbühel back to back and do it in that sort of style, win in Wengen, win in Bormio. Like, those are the biggest of the big races that there are in this discipline and the speed disciplines. And that's legendary status. It's just mad in one season.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, look at it. I'm so fascinated looking at his profile. He's like 39. He started first race on the 3rd of December 2022 was his first downhill race in World Cup ever, and he's barely done any. He has done nothing in European Cup either. So he's 39, 19, 6, 27, 10, 4, 1, 2, 2, 1, 1. I mean, he has a couple of DNFs in the middle as well, but I guess,
But also good on the coaches and they would have been under pressure sort of from people going, well, firstly, why is he starting? And then when he is starting, he bins it into the nets half the time. What are you doing? They must have had those conversations about it, and somebody or a few people have stuck their neck out and gone, no, he's got it. He's just not showing it yet. I mean, that is.
Well, it's such a unique story, because usually they would be like, he does one or two bad races in other nations, and everyone who's not being able to ski, they were like, well, why the hell are you putting this guy in, like, in the media? What's this guy doing? Good for the French.
Absolutely. We could talk forever, I think, about Sarrazin. Just quickly before we move away from the downhills, I'm sure you've got something to add, Ben, by the look of your chops over there. But I think a big shout out to Ryan Cochrane-Siegel, 100th off the podium in fourth place, was, I mean, I have no idea where he pulled that out of, because since the injuries and the concussions and stuff, he's been finding it difficult to reignite his form. And that, I mean, that sort of confidence. Yes, the next day didn't go quite as well, but that was in like crap conditions. That's got to, and I hope it does really give him the confidence to get, to push on and hopefully get back to where he was and then surpass it.
Yeah, him and Cam Alexander on that first day did blind. I think Cam Alexander was another 10th or so behind him, but it's really good to see that, because as much as we have just kind of serenaded Sarrazin and Odermatt and their kind of brilliance at the top of things, it is good when there are other people that are showing us that it's not always the same people in the mix. And the Canadians had a couple of good results earlier in the year, and yeah, we really wanted that from Ryan Cochrane-Siegel. It's been a while, like you said, Ed, since he's really showed that form. It was such a shame, because it looked like he was bursting onto the scene in terms of starting to put those results together when he started getting injured. So really good to see him come back and start showing us he's still got that raw speed, because that was what he used to have before, whereas in other races he looked like he's just struggling for the feel on the snow. So it was really good to see that back from him again.
Was there something else that you wanted to pick up on?
It was more on the pitch of that the downhill overall title race. It's easily the most interesting one we've got now because Odomat's winning by 6 points from Sarrazin. And they've got four downhills left. So provided they don't put it in the nets, it's going to be that one could go right down to the wire. So yeah, as much as we were worried about Kilda going out and none of the globes being interesting, that one now looks like it's going to be an absolute belter.
100%. And then on to the slalom, which didn't disappoint either, with Lina Strasser picking up an emotional victory on his home from home hill. And he went from fourth to first on that second run. Christopher Jakobsen reigniting, because I think it was a couple of seasons. Was it 2021 where he had that second and those two podium results just before Christmas there? And he found something else, another racer that maybe he's found the key. And then Daniel Yule, a couple of tenths off in third. Those guys were a little bit ahead of Manu Fella, struggled a little bit by the form that he's had so far this season, 0.79 back. And then Britain's very own Dave Riding came close to having the second run charge that he needed. And he moved up from, what was he like, 15th or 16th and then into fifth. And then Major and Taylor both getting PBs as well. That slalom race, the snow looked properly tough. What an absolute belter of a race. Marcel, mate, what did you think of that one?
It was it was an interesting watch. I don't think I've ever seen more DNFs in one race. I think we just got
was it had 37 half, out of 70 or something.
Yeah, 37 out of
finishes.
I think just a bit above half, which is quite interesting to see. I thought the British team has done so well, and they got three people into the second round for the second time this year. That must be a record as well, I guess. So that was really cool to see. And Lino Strasser, he was so chilled. He was like skiing so well, so freely. It's a bit of a shame that Feller didn't get onto the podium. I thought he would have deserved it. But he was just, yeah. I think the pressure went to him, and I think he was really disappointed. He said it in the interviews afterwards as well. But we saw some very disappointed people. I mean, Atle McGrath was literally throwing his skis around. He was not happy.
Yeah, well, he was he was very angry, and then he actually looked very emotional when we caught that picture of him sitting at the side. I think just again how easy it is when you're on cloud nine, 2 second places, 2/100ths away from a win, 1/10th away from a win, and then all of a sudden a DNF and that sort of good feeling, the swell of momentum it just gets shattered in an instant. And we've seen, then again, another DNF, which we'll come to later on. But, this is a cruel sport. Well, sport is cruel, isn't it, at times? And from going from right as, some of the best feelings that he will have ever had, and then sort of to the lowest of the lows of DNFing when you should be putting in some good results is going to be a test of how he manages to recover from a difficult couple of races.
What on earth happened to Henrik Kristoffersen? Was you jinxing him, taking a mix, saying him doing an interview saying bib one's not a good bib, and then he had bib one and came 30th with it. And if it wasn't for that absolute atrocious piece of skiing from Michael Matt, skiing inside a gate, who straddled it so far he was about a foot inside it and carried on skiing to the finish. Because I was looking at the results, I was like, why is Michael Matt still on there? He skied so far inside that gate. But if Matt's run it, if he just put his foot on the right side of the gate, Kristoffersen would have been bib one and not made the second run without coming to a stop on a run. Mm. It was such a strange run to watch. I was like, you guys watched it and just said, no major mistakes, looks okay. And then the next person came down to beat him by about 2 seconds. It was like, oh, that was really bad. Just like he had no speed at all.
It was really odd. And the thing that's probably makes it harder for him now is it because he's so freely and openly talking about how he can't find the setup, and he is without Hirscher now, he is the guy that tinkers the most with the equipment and everything tries to change. I think we might have talked about it on comms actually, but you just wonder whether he's now like messing around so much with the setup rather than picking a setup that he's got some feeling for and then trying to get the technique and using his skiing to adapt to how the equipment is, because there isn't an awful lot of time for training, as we already know, in a World Cup season, especially when you're doing multiple disciplines. I mean, yes, he's only doing two, but he's still trying to find some form and find the setup. It's like, just, you know, if every single time you're putting on skis, you're trying something new, you're never going to get any consistency. You're never going to be able to adapt yourself to the best setup, because you're still making changes, trying to find a better setup, if that makes sense. Hopefully it does.
Didn't make any sense.
Yeah, whatever.
No, it must be so tough for him, but I completely agree. Like, you think you could take one of the better races you do, where he came like fourth or fifth, and say, okay, I'm going to build from this setup and just work out how to make this go 2 tenths faster, rather than, okay, that worked, now let's change some more and try and get more time out of it, because that could then set you back, you know,
which it looked like
best,
it did.
Best part of 3 seconds, yeah. But yeah, it was so strange to see. But maybe he's right. Maybe bib one is a, you know, a terrible bib to have. We'll have to give Dave bib one a couple times and see.
I'm sorry. I think he's absolutely full of crap. Absolutely. You tell that to River Radamus, that's going down 69 and qualifying on a second run, or you tell that to somebody starting in the 20s that 20s is not as good as bib number one. It might not be the best bib, but it's certainly, you know, maybe the fourth or fifth best bib. So, you know, that actually just winds me up, because I think that's just disrespectful.
That's exactly why I said it, because I don't want you up. But no, there were some great forces, and I really love that hill, because there's just so much to take in on the way down. You know, you've got narrow sections, you've got the hill turning, like, quite a lot of natural bends in the hill, the way the piste moves, all the rollers. It just looks so much fun to race down. Big fallaways. Every time Dave skis down it, he looks like he's enjoying himself, even when it's not quite working for him. I think on his first run, he'd probably have been a little bit disappointed with it. Obviously, it gives him a good space for the second run charge. I think I texted you guys and said, although it's not his best run, everyone's so packed in, that's kind of tailor-made for a second run charge, when you've got 10 people in the space of about 4 tenths of a second. If you nail that second run, you're right there for leaping up the board.
But some big performances. I'm not sure whose is a better performance, Strasser or Jakobsen, really. You'd arguably say Jakobsen, with how difficult he's found it over the last couple of seasons. And I'm so pleased to see him. How many times do we talk about it on here, and we in general talk about it as ski racing fans, about seeing talented people put a decent two runs together, and how often, you know, you're just praying. It's, you know, we're still hoping for it to see it from Vanatza, or you're still hoping to see it from so many people. You're like, we just need to see him, like Steen Olsen, putting two runs together. Do you know what I mean? There's so many guys you're just desperate to see how good they can be if they can hold it together. And Jakobsen, yes, he was second, and yes, he went from first to second, but ultimately, you know, that is, he is skiing very, very well, and obviously backed it up with some good skiing in Schladming as well. So was super impressed to see him, and Strasser as well. I love the emotion. That's what sport is as well, isn't it? That emotion, you know, the sort of, it's not why you do it, but it's, but you living his heart on the line. He puts everything into it, and to sort of get it there, get it done with his family there, and the place that he's got so much history with himself. I just thought it was wicked. Just kind of got me a little bit there. I thought it was really, really cool. But yeah, Marcel, Austrian side of things. Fella, fourth, tied with Babinski in terms of the best Austrian performance in Kitzbühel. Pretty disappointing weekend for the home team.
I don't think they would have been happy with that. No, I think they're just having a tough time right now. I mean, they had a couple of people in Schladming, but on that first run, they were really struggling. A lot of them were really struggling. And I like Feller. He's a great character. Just couldn't put it together, which is a shame for him, because it's, you know, even more of a home race than it is for Strasser, I guess. So I really wanted him to see on the for him to be on the podium. Babinski, you know, that fourth place would have been like a win for him, really. The rest, Kriechmeier is just not in form. The rest is too far away.
Kriechmeier, we saw a couple of glimpses of Kriechmeier in those speed races, now that you mentioned him. But again, like he'll do like a couple of sections, or maybe not even a couple of sections. He'll do a section where you're like, oh, here we go. This is Kriegmeier, you know, coming back. And then all of a sudden, he just, I don't know, it's not intensity. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, it just goes away. And all of a sudden, he's, you know, quite a long way off.
Well, with someone like him, you know, you can never write him off because he's won, I don't know, 15 World Cup races. You know, he has incredible speed. He just doesn't have that confidence right now, and that's a shame because it's missing the Austrian ski team, you know, a lot. Because realistically, and you know, not saying anything bad against anyone else, but he's the only one who can win in the, you know, in the speed disciplines at the moment. And it's a real shame. And the other guys, I mean, Hemmetsberger, you know, his knee is hurt. We saw a great result from Neumeier, but he retired. So he was like, well,
Yeah,
you know what?
12, mic
Bye.
drop,
I'm
goodbye.
off. I'm off. It's a shame. And they can't, you know, they can't really afford people coming 12th and then just being like, oh, I'm gonna retire now. Whatever.
So yeah, slightly sidetracked, but yeah, so I guess it's similar to Paris. Paris had a really difficult season last year, and is he skiing his best at the moment? No, he isn't, but he's got two podiums to his name this season, and it's, you know, it's that sometimes you've got to just grit your teeth, and when it isn't rolling for you, you've just got to, I don't know, bully your way down. I'm not sure what the right terminology for it is, but Paris is sort of doing that. He's definitely not at his best, and he's still got two podiums. And so you kind of feel like Kriechmeier, maybe, you know, he's famed for sort of smooth and clean, but maybe he's just got to go, do you know what, that isn't working right now, and I'm better than this, and I'm, you know, I'm actually going to try something a little bit left field to try and force some results. But back onto the slalom side, a huge day for Billy and Laurie. That those two guys, I mean, together with Dave, Billy just looks like he's a carbon copy of Dave, just 12 years, 13 years younger in terms of solid. You know, you watch Dave ski down and you know, he looks like an immovable object 99% of the time in terms of positioning on the ski, doesn't he? And sort of Billy looks like he's definitely cut from the same cloth. Laurie, a bit more heart in the mouth moment, but actually, do you know what? I think that result from Laurie probably did more for this season for him than it would have than the other two results did for the other two boys after so many disappointments. And again, another racer where you're like, oh, we just need to see him in the finish area for good results, and he managed to do it. So I was absolutely chuffed for him.
Yeah, I mean, all three guys had a great day. I think Billy's ones are important just to try and get him. Like, he's right on the edge of that 30. Just a couple more results in the top 20 or so, and the people who are falling out the back, like, I mean, I saw come Pladming, Eric Reid was starting in the 40s and he was in like 27 a couple of weeks ago. So a couple more people drop out the back and he's right there. And can start getting that number down with the World Cup points, which would be absolutely brilliant for him. And then Laurie, like you said, the confidence, putting both runs down. He looked a bit more, I'd say, a bit more tense on the second run. It looked like he didn't quite have the same freedom on the first run. But I think earlier in the year he'd made a second run and skied out. So he was probably had that in his mind that he wanted to put it in the finish and make sure he was there. But you know, it's we don't really have mountains, you know. We've got a couple in Scotland, so to say
You're
we've
not,
got
you ski
three
up there.
people,
No,
which just went depending on how windy it is.
as Ed always says on Eurosport, like he needs to get his dry slope skills out now. That's where it comes from, mate.
I think that's mandatory. I think you
We
have to say that when Dave's skiing.
should get Marcel on the dry slope, you know, then we'll really see it.
We
But
tried that with World Cup skiers before, and it didn't go well.
no, it
Who
didn't.
did that?
His name was it a Florian?
Florian, wasn't it? Florian Seer. Florian Seer?
Florian Seer, yeah. Fresh off the back
Austrian.
of like top 10
Austrian
World
legend,
Cups,
yeah.
come to ski at High Wycombe dry slope. And he's like,
Nice.
yeah. Because I think he was, because the old slope there in High Wycombe, which is sort of southern England for those of you that are outside the UK, it was, what is it? It's like 20 seconds, if you're lucky, worth of racing down there.
22nd if you're slow.
And I think he was sponsored by Warsteiner, and Warsteiner was the sponsor of the ski slope. And somehow, I don't know who convinced him to come over, but somebody convinced him to come over and have a go. And he got beaten by a fair few 10-year-olds. real humbling experience for him. Yeah, that's right, Austria. We get you on the dry slopes. But yeah. And then Mickey Kugler, who's the director, who's in charge of the pictures, pulled out his best kiss cam and caught Laurie a little smooch in the finish area, which I thought was quite entertaining.
Well deserved.
Well, yeah, I guess. I think that was at half time. That was halfway though, wasn't it? So, you know, could have gone the wrong way. Anything to add on Kitzbühel before we move on? We spoke a bit more about that and I thought we were going to try and rattle through plenty of racing to get through. Then the women were over in Jasna in Slovakia for what were a very eventful, for maybe the wrong reasons, couple of days. The first day was the giant slalom and poor old Petra Vlahova went down and bust her ACL plus MCL. I can't remember which of the other ligaments it was alongside her ACL. Which was very, very sad to see. Again, another we just talked about at the start and touched on Vlahova being, you know, robbing us of a decent battle, not so much in the GS, but certainly in the slalom. But it was the snow was crazy because Adam Zampa, it was Adam Zampa, wasn't it? Or was the other Zampa? It was Adam Zampa, was the forerunner, fell, did his ACL. Nikki Hosp fell, did her ACL. Yeah, it was difficult, but who it wasn't difficult for was Sarah Hector, who won the race by 1.5 seconds. The first run, I think they had to measure it by the daylight hours because she was so far ahead of everybody else. And Michaela Schifrin was 1.52 back. Alice Robinson, good ski from her, in third, but 2.71 back. And that is a massive podium there. Then Zrenka Lucic, really good from her, in fourth. Goot, disappointing, down in sixth. What do you reckon of that, Ben?
Fourth place being 4.3 seconds off, and Schifrin didn't win the race. I don't think we've ever seen that before. No. That was absolutely insane, and obviously, like, absolutely heartbroken for Vlahova because she's been putting on some great skiing. Like we said, she looked really hungry this year in our home race as well. Like, those fans, so many came out. That could may as well have been Schladming, but with orange hats at the bottom. That was such a crowd. They said they had something like 16,000 seats, but you could see how many people had just said, no, I'm just going to go walk up this hill the other side of the finish area. But like about 20,000, just like the unpaid sections.
Yeah.
And they are such, we talked about it before, and every time it's a kind of point of emphasis for the commentators is just how many fans Vlahova brings to races. So for it to happen at a home race when, you know, she's like national celebrity is absolutely terrible for her, and obviously wishing her a speedy recovery and everything. But what was brilliant was to see Hector back to that I guess form from the Crystal Globe year where she got injured just before the world champs at the end of the season. That's the first time she's been putting in good results in slalom, and GS has been getting there. But this
perhaps
was the first time.
Games, isn't it? Since the game, since she took gold?
Yeah, that's when she kind of first like started dominating, and then had the next season, I think was the world champs year, where she was walking away with it and then got injured just before the end of the season, and hasn't quite had the same speed since. Whereas now, that those two runs, she looked like she was skiing on a completely different hill to everyone else. She just had them on absolute rails. Yeah. Two runs, incredible skiing. You know, Schifrin looked solid, but nobody looked like they were just had complete control over what was going on other than her. So that's, you know, brilliant to see. And hopefully she can keep it up. And similar with Alice Robinson, we said a few times, she looks like she might be getting back to her best, and then she'll have a couple bad races and have to build again. But, you know, really exciting to see Hector back to her best and Robinson on a podium.
Marcel?
I think she was about the only one we gripped there. She was like, she was absolutely flying, and it didn't look pretty. Let's put it on the table. It did not look pretty for a while. But I mean, it's great to see Robinson, you know, is she even 20 yet? I mean, she's been there for such a long time. And she's still so young, and it's great to see her back. I think Schifrin probably would have been a bit disappointed, but that was just literally nothing to get on that day. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of men wouldn't have beaten Hector on that day.
Yeah,
Like
Hector's run
quite
was next
frankly.
level, wasn't it? It really was. She was. And how often have we talked about it over the last 18 months and saying, you know, she's trying too hard, she's pushing too much, and she makes these big mistakes. And she needed to try that hard to get the ski to grip into the ice. And maybe that was the reason that she found her form. So let's see if she's able to build and use that and put that into the rest of her season, because slalom has been going very well, but GS has been pretty tricky for her for a while. So let's see if that's, you know, a little bit of a kickstarter. The conditions were very, very difficult. They were very difficult in the second day in slalom as well. Maybe not quite as brutal as they were on day one, but Shiffrin took the victory, made it 95 World Cup victories. Zrinka Lucic put her really close. She was only 14 hundredths of a second off. And then Anna Svenn-Larsen found a couple of good turns down there to get back on another podium. She looks like she's changed and found something special and reignited her old form. Cami Rast in fourth position, really good. Best of the Austrians was Huber down in 11th place. So it wasn't.
I was going to go back to the GS myself. No Austrians. What's happening? I know
I
we did
know.
the
That was.
review of Austrian skiing a few weeks ago, but that's really bad.
That
Not
was.
a single one on the second run.
That was quite shocking. I think it was the. So they had one girl in the second round, and she crashed as the only person. I think it was the first time since 1983 or something. I just read it on the news, but that they haven't had points in giant slalom, you know, the women. And it was, I mean, they were all so far off, you know. It was just, you know, but I mean, I don't even know what you're gonna say as a coach if someone, you know, I mean, I've been 8 seconds off, but what are you gonna say as a coach? I mean, you know,
Probably not a
that
good job.
you can literally stop them with like a calendar, or you could do that there. And I mean, I've been in that position as well, and not gonna, you know, blame anyone, but that was just not good enough. And the same in the slalom. Like in the slalom, it was a bit better, but still, just I don't know. It's a shame because Liensberger is such a great skier, but she has like zero movement. When Ed and I were talking about it, like she just, you know, goes on her outside ski, doesn't do anything. Next gate does the same thing, and she doesn't have any movement. And it's just, it's really hard. I think it's really hard, and you know, I feel for them because the Austrian press is not being very kind to them. Obviously not. What are you gonna do? They're in the real hole there.
But when she was at her best, and just massively oversimplifying it, but she that movement was there. She did have quite a lot of bounce in her skiing, obviously not straight up and down, because we talk about it quite a lot about making sure you're releasing the energy in the right place. But it's really strange that she's almost got to the point of almost, you know, she's had some good results this season, but like on the more technical side, almost when things don't go right, it's almost kind of like rabbit in the headlights and just goes defaults to just rolling on the edges and then freezing almost and just hoping something happens. And you know, when you're in your best form, you almost do it without thinking. When you roll the edges on and they just grip immediately, you're like, oh, this is amazing. But when they don't, it's a horrible feeling when you're standing on the ski and you can't find the grip or the acceleration or anything. You're like, well, I can't grip, so I can't do the turn, and I've also can't accelerate the ski, so I can't even be fast but ski out after four
Well,
gates.
that was what McGrath was feeling in Kitzbühel, wasn't it?
But this it was really strange to see. I think obviously on the slalom side of that, there was the racing was a lot closer, the gaps were nowhere near as big, but the conditions still looked like mega ice. It looked like good racing conditions on both days, even if the speed was a bit weird on the first day. Schifrin, you know, you said it, 95 wins, 150 podiums. It's absolutely insane what she's achieved. But again, someone pushing her, you know, she had to work for it.
Yeah, thankfully she had to work for that win.
Is she gonna ski in Cortina? Do we know that?
Haven't seen. I think she does race in Cortina normally. I'm pretty sure that she quite likes Cortina, I think. I'm sure I've seen her on a race in there last year. Well, she got what, five victories to do it? I think she's got there's more than that in
I mean,
attendance,
it's
isn't there?
three races in Cortina. One in Kronplatz and then Soldeo, and then I guess, or Garmisch, then maybe she doesn't ski that one, but Soldeo, I mean, latest in Soldeo, she will have it, I guess.
Crazy, absolutely crazy stats. Charlie Guest narrowly missing out a second run by 200ths of a second. Cruel, 31st she was. Making some good inroads. Yes, it's been difficult for her this season and at the back tail end of last year, but a third in Europa Cup and what's her name? De Friends at what's her name? Germaine, the Latvian girl who won that race. It's been skiing in top 10. So Charlie pushed her a little bit. Yes, she was about a second off her, but a second off her, the Latvian girl, Germaine, she would have been in 16th in two of those World Cups. So starting to get a little bit of form, and that hopefully will bring confidence. But what it doesn't bring you is a lower start number. And that, as we've spoken about so many times, is often the make or break with a second run, because most of the people starting World Cup have got the ability, don't they, to get themselves into a second run. It's just that it's made a hell of a lot more difficult when you're starting in the 50s and 60s or even the 40s. You know, it doesn't happen very often. We've been blessed, I think, with the last couple of rounds, certainly on the men's side anyway, where the opportunities for the later starters have been there because of the conditions and the work that's gone into the hill. But that isn't the norm.
Yeah, I felt really sorry for Charlie. She was so close with that run. She, as she was skiing, I was like, I think that looks like it could be good enough. And then as the others came in after her, I mean, there were some pretty good results from people quite far back. I think Carice Bresch was one of the ones that pushed her down, starting 55. And, you know, such a shame. There really wasn't much in it. And hopefully she doesn't take it too kind of much of a hit from it, because obviously that will really not necessarily take your confidence away, but just it'll take the wind out of your sails when you think you've done a run that's good enough for it, and then have it taken away like that. Obviously with good skiing from Clarice Bresch, but yeah, hopefully we can get Charlie in a second run soon, because we've seen before she's got it, and it's just injuries and stuff have kind of pushed her back out of that 30. So we really want to get her back to where she was before, and I think an example of that's probably Melanie Maillard. She's been injured a fair amount, and as this season really started to show some form, she's slowly creeping that number down. I think she was started the season outside of the 30 or very close to the back of it, and is, you know, getting regular top 10s now, and that number's coming down for her as well. So she's been skiing really well. So yeah.
Good point. Well made, Benjamin. Good point. Well made. And anything to add on the women's side? So then we went to Schladming for the night giant slalom, and then the night slalom, the night GS. The hill on the first day was in perfect condition. It was properly icy. It wasn't super slick, but it was very compact, certainly until the halfway point. And what a day it was. What a race it was. That second round made even more better by the fact that Marco Odermatt was a second off the pace, or 0.98 off the pace, down in 11th. But he had the second run that we knew that was possible, just unlikely from that far away. Still managed to get it done from 11th to first on the second run to keep it unbeaten in the GS. A fella went from first to second, so close to getting the victory in Schladming. 0.05 the difference between him and Odermatt, and Kranic back on a podium, went from fourth to third. Steen Olsen, he went very well, nearly got himself back on a podium as well. Marcel, that place, obviously you've got great history there, looked properly good, didn't it, that day one?
Yeah, really good. The thing with Schladming is the giant slalom, you know, it's not the hardest. So you gotta really go for it. And we saw some, you know, great skiing. Obviously Odermatt, and we said it after Kitzbühel, I think it probably played a bit in his mind that someone beat him, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it did. Because he was, you know, he made some mistakes that he usually doesn't make. Lucky to actually stay in the race. But then, I mean, his second run, I think in the second run, it was only Verdú and Steen Olsen who were just, you know, within the same second as him. I mean, he was just flying. He still, you know, he even said in the interview, he's like, you know, I didn't go full speed. Like, I was just holding back a bit more technical. But I mean, if he was not going full there, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. It was incredible. But hey, hometown hero feller, heads up to him. Hadn't trained ever since, I think, Adelboden, because he just can't really do it with his back. And I think he was just so surprised, and he, you know, put it down, and he was so close at the end. I really thought he was going to make it, actually.
I really wanted him to do it, because one, it's him and he's at home and all that sort of stuff, but also just spice it up a little bit, you know, give Odomat a bit of a run. But Odomat made the race. That's so exciting, Ben. That second run, watching him, it wasn't the perfect run on the second run, and you felt that there was a chance that it could, you know, be somebody else stood on top. But hats off to him, because that second run, under pressure, nothing to lose though, but under pressure still, to walk away with the win was exceptional.
Yeah, I mean, any Marco Odomat can take a lay down on the first run, have a nap, get back up, and still come back and win the second run. It's absolutely ridiculous. But that they were looking at the guys left at the top when it was getting up to the bare part of a second advantage they had over him on that second run. It looked like someone, he didn't have a perfect run. Someone could have been able to beat him if they got it right. It didn't have to be a set the fastest second run to beat him. But yeah, I think Fella just, there were a couple turns where it just didn't recover quite quickly enough. If it had been a slalom, you might have been able to back him to recover the speed in time. But you guys were right. I mean, that was so close. I was winning him across the line to try and get that win, because you feel he deserves it the way he skied this year. Not necessarily in GS, but the not necessarily getting the rubber to green in the home slalom races. So I was absolutely begging the clock to stop and him to get the win, but it just ticked over. But yeah, the other guys,
they forgot to put an Austrian there to, like, you know, get in a bit early.
Yeah, somebody should have been chucking snowballs to try and get the beam to stop.
It was that atmosphere as well. Looks great. I'm kind of gutted I didn't swap around the slalom and the GS so that slalom could have the best conditions. I've been way more like it. But that crowd just looks amazing. Didn't look to have quite as many people up the side of the piece as they've had in previous years, but still an absolute ton of people there. It looks like such a good just night out, for want of a better way of putting it, just the evening on the slopes. Just with a load of Austrians going absolutely mental. And yeah, like you said, that if you get the home skiing properly. Again, it was a bit weird with some of the Austrian guys. Like Brennsteiner didn't look like himself. Haase looked okay considering he started further back. But again, it's just not quite the same as we've had in years past. So to see Fella this year pull out a bit of a rabbit out of his hat for the GS was absolutely blinding.
I think that's probably one of the reasons why maybe there weren't as many people there. I mean, if Austria had been, you know, in giant slalom, you're going there to watch Odomat win, really, aren't you? Whereas in the slalom, you're probably hoping that Fella's going to win. So maybe you would have got some more Austrians there. But obviously then the weather was horrendous. So the crowds still were big and still were deep, and still were in great voice, considering the second day they got absolutely drenched. But the GS, it was a really good spectacle. I'm really pleased that they put in that. It's such a cool event to have a night GS, and added to the sort of Schladming feel of things was pretty cool. Marcel, anything to add on the GS, mate?
No, I think it was a great race. It's good that it stays in the calendar, I think, because it fits in really well with you know, there's not many GS around. There's a slalom anyway. You have a track. You can do it at night. Like, why wouldn't you? And the Austrians, the Austrians love to have races anyway. They're like, give me more.
Yeah. Exactly. Whatever you want, we'll build it.
There's not enough Austrian races on the tour, is there?
You want to have another kids' pool? Yeah, we're going to build another kids' pool somewhere.
And they would.
Development of our young people? Nah, just build a track. It's fine.
They can come watch. what did Fair do? That sounds a bit weird, but he's at the right at the bottom of the results. He's down as having a monetary fine, but it doesn't say what he did. He didn't get disqualified, so I'm a bit confused. Just
give it a code.
Not on the results I'm looking at. It might be on the full and detailed results, but yeah, it just says sanctions, monetary fine.
Maybe he was swearing like all of them do these days.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to stop that, because I think a couple of them have got away with it, and then. You know, Sarazan got away with it. You're not going to find the guy that's just won Kitzbühel. And then all of a sudden they're doing it every week. So I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up being spoken about in the meetings.
I was just wondering if it was something that had been mentioned to you guys with your special inside TV knowledge.
No, mate. No inside TV knowledge over here. Just turn up, turn up and chat and then leave.
That's literally what we do. That is literally what we do.
I'm just going to quickly look at it.
And get paid.
Well,
print
yeah.
Out, print out, print out. That's what I usually do. Print out a start list, a couple of numbers on it, and good, good to go. While Ed is doing all his preparation, it's quite funny to see.
So at least someone's putting some effort.
No, he's so sweet when he brings his pencil case and just, you know, writes it all down. Yeah, love mate. It.
Marcel doesn't even bring a pen. That, whatever. So have you got my pen? Yeah, little. But no, I'm just having a quick look, see if I can find it. We'll keep chatting. Let's move on to the slalom, which was water ski event. Real shame. It was a great race, but it's a shame that it wasn't an even better race. Lina Strasser made it two from two, didn't he? Packed it up from Kitzbühel to do it again. He's won already there a couple of seasons ago, but looked really strong, really solid. Timon Haugen, though, what a run he had. On the first run from a slightly higher bib, still a higher bib though, with bib 12, and then a really good second run. I thought he'd done enough. And then Clément Noël managed to squeeze his way onto a podium. It got close. He was right on the limit a few times there and managed to be 1.02 off. Marc Rochat was in fourth. Oh, you could see the emotion on his face. And that's the thing that we were talking about earlier on with the emotions as well. I just felt for him. He was desperate to get his first ever World Cup podium. He came so close, but he was fourth, just 600ths off. Fella went okay. No fireworks from him, but down in fifth. Who wants to kick us off for that one?
The slalom was so, because it was such different conditions to the GS, I think a lot of the people who'd raced the GS didn't quite know what to do skis-wise, because Fella, who'd had, like, obviously the night of his life the day before, just didn't look like he had any grip at all. And if anything, one thing you always get with Fella is having really good grip. And it just looked, no one could quite work out how to get the balance between grip and acceleration. Like, most people could make the turns, but then they looked like they were slowing down every gate. So it looked like a real struggle for so many people. We saw people, of course, inspecting with umbrellas, and you could see the water on everyone's goggles and all that stuff. So it looked like a grim race to do. Obviously, like we talked about for the GS, still a brilliant atmosphere and a great event to be part of, but really hard work in comparison to what you normally expect in terms of just clear skies, bulletproof ice, everything else is kind of taken care of for you. So it looked like a real struggle for all the races. And I think Fella would just kind of be happy probably that he's got that top five, you know, come out of Kitzbühel and Schladming with solid points in each. You know, he's won a bunch of other races this year. It'll keep him in the mix, in that overall, in the lead overall. Obviously, Strasser having a couple wins will really, really start nipping at his heels as well. So that will be another good kind of globe to keep an eye on moving forwards. But, you know, I don't know what Christofferson did. He seemed to have swapped back to a different pair of skis and boots and got himself in the into six. So that was only a hundredth behind Fella. So looked like he might have found some speed again. It's so hard to tell with races like that whether that's luck on the day that a person's gone fast or whether they're actually finding form. Obviously, Strasser two wins in a row. You couldn't say that's a bit of form with Christofferson. He's confusing us as much as he's confusing himself now. We don't really know what to expect from him anymore.
Marcel?
You have to find the groove. I have to find a groove there. Sorry for everyone who was listening to your report. Apparently, we said too many grooves.
We were being far groovy. too groovy.
No, but it was so tough. I felt really sorry for the last couple of guys. I mean, they already have shit numbers of shit bibs. And they also had a really shit slope as well. So I felt a bit sorry for them. But, you know, got to fight through it. They had some good opportunities in Wengen and in Kitzbühel coming from the back. This time, not so much.
Marcel, was there anything said why Michael Matt didn't start?
Yeah, he was ill.
He suspended for his behaviour in Kitzbühel? outrageous straddle that he didn't get away with. They're just like, right, you're not allowed to race.
No, you know what happened? He got the fist fine. He was like, oh, makes me sick.
So ill from having to pay out money for skiing after a straddle.
£1,000 or something, isn't it?
I think it's more. Well, it used to be more, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was like Yeah, I think it was like 2.5 grand. I think it was something I thought it was more than that, but maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, I think it was. But do you know what, Ben? I can't find it anywhere where the code is. I can see the bit you're looking at, but I can't see the. It doesn't have a code.
If I do, yeah, it's just a weird one. We'll have to speak to some inside World Cup sources instead of media sources and see if they know. See if they know what he did. It wouldn't surprise me if it was swear on somebody. He had a pretty rapid second run, so it may well have been that he just got a little bit
Well, then Strasser would
vocal
be
in the
getting one as
camera.
well because he was dropping F bombs as well, wasn't he? So I don't think it. I don't think it's going to be that. But yeah, it doesn't have the violation code on the FIS website. Not that I can see anyway. I'll dive into it and see if we can figure it out. Dave went okay, 14th. Some more points again. Not quite as good as we said, but unsurprisingly, we already sort of knew those conditions. The salted snow definitely doesn't suit Dave. It's not something he's famed for enjoying. So kind of got away with one of the two boys. Billy was had the flu as well, and then Laurie just yeah, tough though for him.
And as well as that, I think we saw a few people, even on the second run, really struggling. I think it was quite hard with the core set, because a lot of the time as a setter, you're going to have in mind what you want to set, and then the conditions come in, you're like, well, do I change it, or am I going to go with what I was expecting to set when I thought it was going to be bulletproof and great for everyone? But I didn't think there was too much more they could have done in terms of the kind of course prep and setup. I don't think there was anything else really. That could have changed the overall event.
Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah, like you say, Ben, you're kind of hoping that they would have gone, do you know what? Like somehow we can fix this. Austria should have been able to, you know, the Austrians can do normally really good stuff no matter what happens. And you kind of thought that it was going to be a-okay. But it did make the second run held up way better. Yes, yeah, slightly colder. I don't know if the salt, just, you know, better moisture, different type of salt, whatever it was, just cooler in the evening meant that it went better. So yeah, it was pretty good on that second run, thankfully, for those later starters.
Do you reckon Christofferson is now mad that Haugen's got the Van Dier podium, and is Christofferson's not the only one dragging the brand along anymore, and the fact that Haugen's now done his bit for the Van Dier brand? Go
Marcel,
on,
go on.
Marcel.
I don't know. It's just, I think Ed, you said it. He's just not, he doesn't, you know, get his tantrums anymore. So he might be a bit over it. I don't know.
Haugen looked really comfortable there, didn't he? For all of
Oh,
the setup issues we're talking about with other people, he looks really comfortable on those, and we've seen him on ice and slush and a bunch of other different snow types. He seems to be quite comfortable in any conditions on those skis and boots.
yeah. I mean, he was, if you saw his first run, he was so snappy and like the transition between the gates, he was flying in there. He hit the rut really well on most of the gates, and I think he actually looked the best because in the first race, obviously Strasser had like a huge advantage, and so did Noel. If you looked at the replay, I mean, there was nothing for them. While you know, Haugen had it really tough as well, and I like his skiing as well, and he went well in the giant slalom too. He got like 10th or something. So Hirscher will be happy about him for sure. Probably a lot happier than he will be with Christoffersen and then his other racer.
Yeah, you just wonder whether, yes, just too much tinkering. Like Haugen probably doesn't get the same interaction with Marcel, probably doesn't get the same levels of, you know.
Oh well, at that stage probably no. I mean, he's picking up World Cup podiums and like top tens all the time,
Yeah,
so I'm
but
sure.
do you think he's getting the same? You think he's tinkering as much, or do you think he's getting the same
No, I don't think
access
he's
to
thinking.
tinkering?
I think he, if he wanted to, he'd probably get the same stuff. But I don't think he just probably doesn't want to because why would he? I mean, you
Yeah.
know, he seems like a guy who's getting on the skis and just skis. And he's had, you know, he's progressively getting better. And I really enjoy his skiing. I think he's a great kid. He's also very, you know, humble, I think.
Yeah, it looked really good. That second run was special. Really thought he'd
Yeah,
done
wicked.
enough. But Lina Strasser, hats off to him because yeah, got the job done under pressure. Yeah, good stuff from him. Anything to add, boys, on the slalom?
Yeah, I do actually. How far was Feller ahead on the last intermediate? Did he check it out afterwards? Do you
No.
remember? You almost missed it. He was
Oh
like
yeah, he
flying.
found like 7 tenths or
Yeah.
something. He
Let
found 7 tenths between that last intermediate. That was
me
absolutely mad.
double check actually. You just keep talking.
That
You keep talking, I'll have a look.
that
He was go. He it was crazy because he was miles off. You were like, oh, he's like 7 tenths off, and then all of a sudden, that was at the last split, and then came across the line 200ths behind. You're like, what?
Schrein was super quick there as well, but who was the quickest? Oh, Schultz. Schultz was the quickest. He was flying there as well. Do you remember?
Yeah. Well, he was going down right at the beginning. We thought, you know.
Yeah.
But fella, yeah, definitely had something going down that last section.
Yeah, that was that. Like, it's not going to be his day today. Oh, it might be.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you were like, well, hang on a second. He's just made up 7 tenths in.
From that point, every person after you're like, well, fella made up 7 tenths, so I can't write it off yet. We've got to, no matter how far behind they are, they might be able to come back.
He's clipped out of his skis, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm not going to call this one until he's.
Best way to do it. Don't try and predict the future. Let it happen.
No, you just got to wait until you see the time, and it's like, oh, let's see what the timing says. Ah, that was not great.
Just like I suspected.
That's the expert. That's the expert knowledge that you get from Mr. Mathis in the box. Well, I think we've had enough expert analysis from Mathis anyway. The racing coming up this weekend is going to be busy for the women. They race Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday next week. They have a double downhill. Downhill Friday, downhill Saturday, Super G Sunday in Cortina d'Ampezzo, and then they're in Kronplatz for Giant Slalom, whereas the men, it's a pretty chilled out program. Two Super Gs over in Garmisch, and that is all that we got to look forward to. Women have got busy schedule. Cortina, always good, like that one. Looking forward to seeing that one. One of the most exciting women's speed races that there is. Loads of terrain, loads of high speed, big jumps, cool vistas. And who are we thinking is going to come out on top? Ben, go race one.
Downhill one. Let's go with the ever obvious Goggia.
Italian. Marcel.
Let me have a check. Let me check the standings quickly.
That's the expert. Look at him. He just, you know, just doesn't want to put a foot wrong.
Yeah, this isn't one where you can wait till after the results and then make the.
Oh, hang on a minute. I know who I'm going for. Conny Hütter, of course. Austrian. They're flying. They have 3, 4, 5 in the standings. That's pretty impressive.
I mean, that is pretty impressive. You're right. Who is going to get it done? Downhill. I might say Vikhof Lee, maybe for the first one. For me. And then I'm going to bang in the Goggia call, try and make sure I bag myself some half decent points.
What did Marcel Wheat send?
I'm going to say Schifrin.
Nice.
Bold. On the second downhill, she's not been brilliant on the downhill so far this year, but I'm going to say Cooper Army.
You're going to go Cooper Army. Okie dokie. Marcel, Super G.
I go for Cooper Army.
I'm going to go Hooter. Ben?
Yeah. Ooh, Brignone.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad shoot. Okay, Kronplatz GS. It's not a night GS. It is a daytime GS, just on a Tuesday. Going to be tricky to call that one. Who do you think? Ben, why don't you go for that one, mate?
Brignone is my permanent GS pick, although it was a bit of a mistake last week because she fell over after about 10 gates.
You're in Italy. And then I think Schifrin's going to get it done then. Marcel?
Sarah Hector.
Yeah, let's see if she can do it. It'd be cool if she can back that crushing that she delivered over in Jasna to do it again in Italy. Right, and then Super G, double Super G in Garmisch-Partenkirchen, and it is going to is it going to be one of two? You kind of think it must be. I'm going to go Sarazan for the race one. Ben?
I'm going Odomat. If you're not picking, are we allowed to pick Odomat?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm definitely picking Odomat.
I go for Krishmar because he's second in the standings. You know, there must be one race that he's going to win.
Okay, then Marcel, go on.
I go for Odomat on the second one.
Ben?
I'm gonna go Rafael Harsa.
Nice one.
Oof. I kind of wanted you to say Sarasan, so then I could say Paris, but I'm not sure I could not pick Sarasan if no one's picked him. So I'm gonna go the Frenchman for the double then, by the look of it. The Sarasan double.
Can he do the double again? That's the question.
They're doing the double double. I think he might have got over his hangover. Maybe that was what was going on with Odomat on run one in Schladming. He was still hungover from the Londoner.
That's why he
Yeah,
needed to lie down.
he was
Lost his balance, he needed to lie down.
I
Right. No.
mean, what is going to happen if Sarasan wins another two Super Gs? Can you imagine? Like, that will really get into Odomat's head then.
You
I
know.
mean, he'll definitely be behind in the Super G standings if Sarrazin takes 200 points off him. That'll be really interesting. Then they'll be neck and neck in two globes at the
Yeah,
same time. That'd be perfect.
because right now, Audemars is literally leading the Super G, the downhill, and the giant slalom, and the overall.
Yeah, he's got far too many red bibs.
Yeah, where is he going to do with all
Not
that?
only is he leading the overall, he's got double the amount of points of the next nearest person. It's on 1,256 already, and Sarrazin's on 660 or something. So
Well, you know,
he's so far in front, it's ridiculous.
when it's like a normal year with like normal people. That's literally when you win it with like 1200 points. That's like,
Yeah.
you know, when Kilde won, that was his thing. When I think Pinterest won, it was close to that as well. But with him, it's just like, oh, 1200 points. Well, who
And we're
cares?
still
Gonna
in January.
fly past that number pretty quickly.
That's absolutely crazy. Well, not long to find out. It is the first race Friday. Don't forget Friday for day one. Get your picks in nice and quick, and we will see you the other side of the weekend. Gentlemen, thanks very much. Till next time. Bye for now.